Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I am Will Pruitt, and I am here to talk to you about the November 29th, 2012 episode of Impact Wrestling. It is November 30th, 2012, and holy crap, tomorrow's December. Where did this year go? You know, I was thinking about it today. It would be really odd if I came on and was like, and I'm here to talk to you about the November 29th, 2008 edition of Impact Wrestling. If I just, you know, dug up, downloaded, did something to find, like, a four-year-old Impact episode, and I came on and said, holy crap, can you believe what the Main Event Mafia did to the frontline last night? You guys would probably listen for, like, 2 seconds and then go, Will's on some sort of awesome trip. I'm going to let him go, but I'm not going to listen. Which would be your right. But before we get into the Impact reviewing goodness, I want to talk to you real quick, especially because this is on the All Access side, about the .NET Cyber Monday sale. It's extended, let's call it Cyber Week, like Amazon.com does. Maybe just, let's just call it a special right now that we have going on. And it's on our six-month and year-long memberships that we've got. Now, you know, if you want to be a .NET member, you can pay a monthly fee. You could also pay an annual fee or a six-month fee to lock you in. And right now we have a special going on with our six-month membership that, and 6 months, by the way, gets you through WrestleMania season. So that's always newsworthy, always a good time to be a .NET member. Tons of bonuses and stuff that we're already planning to bring your way. And that's $6 off the usual six-month rate. So you're paying just $33. I'm going to break out the old Calculatron right now and tell you what 33 over 6 months breaks down to. Some math major listening to me is screaming it. But that's $5.50 a month on the six-month rate, which breaks it down basically to our normal annual rate for the six-month rate, which is fantastic. It's also $2 off of our normal monthly rate. If you want to just become a member for a month, by the way, no shame. You want to try it out, dip your toe in the water, see if it's good. Maybe a little Christmas way to treat yourself, as my buddy Tommy Haberford might say. That's a hard name to say, guys. And for those of you who don't get the reference, please turn this off. I love you, but turn it off. Get on your computer, TV, phone, whatevs. Watch Parks and Recreation seasons 1, because you got to have that background, through now, because Parks and Rec is awesome. Our annual rate right now is discounted to $66. And again, that's $66 over 12 months. Once again, gets it down to as low as $5.50 a month for that. It's a really great deal. We don't do sales often. We, you know, it's $6 off the 6 month rate, $12 off the annual rate. I can promise you that it is more than worth it. You're going to get your money's worth with shows like .NET Weekly, with Jason Powell and Chris Shore breaking down the news of the week and sometimes breaking first-run news for you, with shows like the .NET Countdown. Member exclusive, Jake Barnett and I go through the top 5 best and bottom 3 worst moments of the week in wrestling. There's always some sort of ridiculousness or hilarity that I try to spring on Jake that he is just not having. And that makes it fun. Me getting shot down. It's like this audio, but you know how you always wish there was someone to say, shut up and get on track, Will? That's Jake. And I love Jake for that. Also, we've got the .NET Q&A show with Jason Powell answering member questions. One of the coolest things about this is so often he says, give me a week, let me check with my sources. And he actually takes your questions to people within the major wrestling companies and says, hey, can you tell me something about this? And he'll come back to you with an answer. Sometimes he'll come back to you with, no one was willing to talk about it, but this is what I kind of know about that subject. That's very much a, that is a much must listen for me on a weekly basis. And that also gets into all sorts of hilarity and ridiculosity, like you would not believe. Reviews of every weekly TV show, Raw, SmackDown, Impact, like you're getting right now. Actually, like you're getting this week on this on the All Access side. This happens weekly for .NET members. It's not just SmackDown. It's not just the occasional Impact. We do it on a weekly basis, short of, you know, a holiday like last week. and reviews of pay-per-views the night they happen, which is, I think, also a major perk. So, and that's just on the audio side. You also get ad-free access to the .NET members side, access to the all-new and revamped .NET members forum, now with, like, a kind of fun betting section where, you know, you get a certain amount of forum dollars, when .NET dollars, when you sign up. And you can bet those on match outcomes, things that you think will happen against other members. And, you know, you get to take other fools' money, which is awesome. I love taking people's money. It's not real money, by the way, so that makes it actually fun. Yeah, but there's a ton of stuff. I'm not even scratching the surface. There's member-exclusive interviews on here as well. Let's just quickly launch into some of those that we have. You've got former WWE creative team member Court Bauer, newly engaged couple Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett, the Young Bucks, Steve Corino, Mike Quackenbush. You've got Mike Bennett again. He loves us. Let's go with Court Bauer's been on a lot, guys, and Court Bauer has some really valuable insights. ROH World Champion Kevin Steen. Former WWE creative team members Krista Joseph and Chris Roach. Ring of Honor's Eddie Edwards. DG USA Booker Gabe Sapolsky. Bobby Lashley. Sean Daivari. Just Incredible. Shane Helms. Jeremiah Riggs from Tough Enough. Former ROH owner Kerry Silkin's been on. Michelle Dighton from Tough Enough. You've got just so many fantastic people that have been interviewed. Dutch Mantel, his first interview after leaving TNA was with ProWrestling.net, and we've got that for our members. Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, the list goes on, and I don't want to bore you guys by getting into it too much, so how about we launch into this show? So for me, this week's Impact had one fatal flaw, and I know I don't like you guys, if you listen to the countdown especially, you know I don't like getting super negative right off the bat. I enjoy at least a, you know, pretense of positivity. But the fatal flaw to this episode for me, it's so glaring and kind of so frustrating that I have to mention it. It's that the star of the show was Hulk Hogan. TNA has done a really nice job as of late of making Hulk Hogan the authority figure. He's there, he's in the background, maybe he's on the show a lot, but he's on the show to help other guys. They really helped Austin Aries with Hulk Hogan. That's something that, Hogan directly enhanced Austin Aries. They really have helped some other acts with Hulk Hogan. Bobby Roode, I think, has gotten a little bit of a boost from Hulk Hogan. But the star of this show was Hulk Hogan. The guy out for vengeance on this show was Hulk Hogan. The wrestler that I felt like I should be cheering on this show the most was Hulk Hogan. And I don't think it should be that way on an episode of Impact. I'm not saying that Hogan shouldn't occasionally, you know, play a supporting role. Hogan's a big star. You know, Hogan is the most recognizable name in TNA. And I understand that argument. But I also see that Hogan is an over-the-hill wrestler who can bring eyes to the product and then refocus them on other guys. And I don't feel like he refocused that attention on anyone on this particular show. And being in this kind of micro show-by-show basis that we go by doing these audio reviews, I have to say that for me, that kind of, that overriding point makes this a bad show to me. And that's not to say there wasn't some good on it. I'll get into it point by point right now. But first, we opened with our previously on Impact. And we saw replays of things like last week's gut check match, where the first ever gut check competitor won his gut check match. The first time a gut check competitor has won their gut check match. And TNA, I think when they started the gut check gimmick, had every intention of that being a major moment in kind of wrestling, you know, a major moment of, oh my gosh, this happened. This guy's great. But the execution of it, I think, was really weak. And the execution of it was, of course, Wes Briscoe getting one of the worst roll-ups in history on Garrett Bischoff. That match was so bad, it was described by my buddy Jake Barnett as the butt fumble of wrestling matches on the .NET countdown this week. And I absolutely agree, actually. For those of you who did not see the butt fumble on Thursday Night Football last week, Mark Sanchez ran into one of his offensive linemen's butt and dropped the ball. leading to the Patriots scoring a touchdown. It was awesome. You just can't, make that stuff up. And definitely, you cannot make up how bad that match was and how anticlimactic that win was. And more than just the match and the win being poor, I question TNA's decision to kind of have what is the blow-off of gut check. Yes, they're going to keep doing it. But what is kind of, you know, one of the biggest what could have been one of the biggest moments in the history of the gut check occur on a night when so few people would be watching? Because it is, you know, it's Thanksgiving. The rating usually takes a little hit that night. It took a bigger one. And, you know, I'm not one to get into ratings and such. But that's, you know, there are less people watching. And you don't run a major thing on a night when there are so few people watching. At least I don't, if it's my choice. I say you don't. Like, I'm telling you what to do. Maybe you run, like, every world title match possible every time you can because, you know, you like that. That's cool. That's your choice. But then Hulk Hogan came out and said his world almost imploded last week after he was faced with the idea of his daughter being in a relationship. You see, the weird thing about this, too, is, like, they brought in Brooke because she's this TMZ queen. She's been all over that sort of media and stuff, and she's had relationships. Hogan Knows Best was a TV show about Brooke dating and Hulk Hogan almost having gotten the George Foreman grill at one point. Like, those were the main subjects of that show, if I remember correctly. So, Hulk still isn't cool with his daughter being in a relationship. Granted, he talks about business and personal and how, you know, Bully Ray was a wrestler and all that. But this segment actually was good. Now, this is the funny thing about Hulk Hogan being the star. I actually enjoyed the segments with Hulk Hogan, Brooke Hogan, and Bully Ray. Like, this is the weird thing about this angle and about my dislike of Hulk being the star of the show like he was is I appreciated a lot of the stuff that they did as a group, that the three of them did. Hulk wanted to know the truth. He asked Bully Ray out to the ring. Ray came out talking about Hogan not trusting him. Hogan asked him again, and Brooke Hogan's music hit, and she made her entrance, and Hulk asked Brooke the same question, and Brooke said, I'm over 18 now, Dad. And it's like, whoa, were you not a couple weeks ago? Because that's something that viewers need to know. I don't know why they need to know, but I think there's a lot of viewers who got a little frightened at that point. Hulk got all hulked up and said he doesn't want to see Brooke with a wrestler as Brooke asked Hogan to stop. Aries chimed in from Hogan's office where he, Kenny King, Zima Ion, and Kid Cash were hanging out. I guess they were waiting for the Championship Thursday judging. And Aries said, you know, Aries basically started saying, oh, Hulk, you know, he, like, laid down on the desk and said, man, it's uncomfortable to lay down on this. I wonder how Brooke does it. You know, kind of just some fun jokes about Brooke and that. And, you know, the X Division dudes chuckled and Hulk looked pissed and stormed to the back. So, an effective opening segment. Another issue with this show for me was it was the Championship Thursday edition. And I actually look forward to the Championship Thursday eliminations with Hulk Hogan now, because more often than not, we've seen them actually enhance the characters they involve with guys like, you know, especially when they put the world title contenders in there, with them staking their claim for a world title shot and really passionately arguing it. I enjoy that. I enjoy that environment. I mean, it's a little arbitrary to say you get a shot based on Hulk's choice. But I enjoy the overall concept of Championship Thursday. Well, this storyline overtook Championship Thursday in a detrimental way to four guys, well, three guys who could have used that enhancement and that on-camera time with Kenny King, Zima Ion, and Kid Cash. I'm sorry. I mean, they flew Kenny. Part of me went, you flew Kenny King into Orlando for this? He was on TV for like a minute, and we'll get into that in a second. But we had Kennelly and Taz and Tanae check in with the three-man booth, and I still don't like the three-man booth. I still don't understand why the best commentator in TNA, Jeremy Borash, was, you know, we got him on commentary for a couple weeks, and then he was taken out. Borash is really good. He's a good ring announcer, but he is a consistent voice that brings some gravitas to the commentary. I don't think Taz and Tanae like Kennelly. I think that Kennelly is trying a little too hard to be, you know, to be a fun commentator. I don't know what it is. I don't like Todd Kennelly. I don't understand why Borash isn't in there. And, you know, maybe people in TNA have a great reason. Like, Eric Bischoff doesn't like Jeremy Borash because he said something at a bar that Bischoff went to one time. What was that, by the way? Did anyone ever know what that actually was? Besides Eric Bischoff getting drunk on Twitter. Anyways, Mickey James and Gail Kim were shown stretching backstage, and they had the first match of the night. Mickey James defeated Gail Kim in 4:48. You know, she hit her with the jumping DDT at the end. Kim controlled most of the match. Mickey made the babyface comeback, hit her finisher. Basic match. I feel like I've seen Gail Kim and Mickey James wrestle for the better part of 6 or 7 years. And that's not an insult, you know, it's not meant to kind of throw it in their face. I just feel like I've seen a lot of Gail Kim and Mickey James, and it's a between WWE and TNA, and it's a little more than I feel I need to see. At the same time, they always have a good match. They're two of the best women's wrestlers in the world. And right now, the TNA Knockouts division needs good matches, and it needs to be the best women's division in the world. There's a lot of women out there who are wrestling fantastic matches on the indie scene. And what did TNA do when they first started the Knockouts division? They went out there to women who were wrestling fantastic matches on the indie scene and gave them, you know, some fun characters and let them go, turned them loose. I wish TNA would do that again. You know, I wish TNA would just say, let's restart this division, keep some of the women we already have, grab some new ones, give them characters and let them go. And I'm sure everyone listening to me right now is nodding in a, you know, nodding and agreeing, because no one disagrees with that idea. It's why isn't TNA doing that? That I think we kind of have to try to figure out. And the only thing I can think of is they just don't think women's wrestling is worth investing in. Although, you know, it draws money for their company in a way that a lot of men, their top men stars, don't. It's weird. I know. So James Storm was backstage. And, you know, basically said, I own up to my decisions. He brought my family into it, kind of talking to the camera, just saying, I own up to my decisions. He brought my family into it. I regret nothing. Because Rude talked about my family and I was going to do what I had to do to get my hands on him. Still a flimsy excuse. I almost, you know, I would have rather seen an authority figure or someone come in or James Storm even just go, I'll fight you tonight, and if you beat me, then we'll talk about you getting a shot at my title shot or something. I don't know. I just don't understand. You say you've worked for a year to get a title shot, but then you lose it to Bobby Roode. I don't get it. But then again, you know, that happened almost, you know, a couple weeks off of a year after James Storm lost his world title to Bobby Roode in a one night or in a challenge that was almost similar. When they were tag team partners. So AJ Styles showed up and asked Storm why he was whining and said, you know, I don't get a title shot for a year. I don't get a title shot till Bound for Glory. You want to talk about losing one shot? What am I supposed to do? And Storm told Styles to stop living in the past and get ready for their tag match tonight. And that led to a commercial break. So Styles kind of getting upset at Storm. Could be the next step towards a heel turn. Part of me, this is the part of me that enjoys ridiculous things and when wrestling promotions go a little bit far, you know, do things that they shouldn't. Part of me, the tag match that was set up for tonight was James Storm and AJ Styles versus Bad Influence, which is Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. I kind of wanted just the four of them to say, screw it. Or, you know, almost like a Bret Hart with the Hart Foundation back in the day. For Bobby Roode to run in at the start of the match and be like, stop, stop, stop fighting. We need to be together. And for all of them just to be like, for, you know, Styles and Storm just to go, you know what, we're heels now. let's do this. And for them just to be like, we're Fortune. And in a way, Fortune reforming might be the best thing for TNA. Just because they need a strong heel faction. We can all forget about Aces and Eights. The development of Aces and Eights in the last few weeks has been awful. The way they've handled that storyline, the way that it's continued, I really have not enjoyed it. And this would be a way for them to transfer some heel faction onto Fortune and let Fortune run. You know, I'm happy to see Luke Gallows with a job, but let everyone in Aces and Eights go. That's chill. I'd get over it. Yeah. You know, I'm not about firing wrestlers or them being out of jobs, but, you know, TNA has too big of a roster as it is. And I think that's another example why we see so many women on their roster, but so few being highlighted. Same thing with the X Division. There's some good guys on their roster, but so few of them are actually highlighted. So after that commercial break, we got Hogan going into his office and, you know, talking about the challenges for the X Division and berating them for laughing at the joke that Aries made. And, you know, one of them just said, dude, it was a funny joke. I'm sorry it was about your daughter, but just you know, the concept of the joke was funny. And then he said, you know, Kenny King, you're pals with Austin Aries, you're eliminated, basically. Okay, so you flew Kenny King in for what? 2 minutes of TV time? I almost think TNA is, like, laughing at him right now. Like, ha-ha, you thought... I wonder if I'm sure he's getting paid more per date with TNA, but I wonder if he's even getting more dates with TNA than he got for Ring of Honor. Like, I feel like Kenny King on the indie scene was actually probably more booked and maybe making more money? Not sure. Maybe. Judging by how often he's been booked by TNA, and that's depressing. I was excited to see Kenny King come in, and I'm really bummed to see him not get used in TNA at all. So then, you know, that's the end of the first half hour. Second half hour, Bobby Roode comes out, makes his entrance. Well, he made his entrance as he came out. I don't know what order those things happen in. He made his entrance, thus he came out. There we go. Basically saying, you know, Hardy, last week you couldn't be Christian York, a gut check guy. What makes you think you can go toe-to-toe with me, you know, the it factor of professional wrestling and all this stuff? And Christian York came out and wanted to fight with Bobby Roode. And, you know, Bobby Roode kind of took a powder from the ring, and York said, hey, you think I shouldn't be calling out world champions? How about I call you out? Let's do this, you know, tonight. Went to commercial basically saying this match is happening next. York is not good at talking. But I enjoy the involvement of Christian York in the rivalry between Jeff Hardy and Bobby Roode. And the reason why is because it's providing meaningful matches and meaningful physical confrontations without actually giving you a match or a physical confrontation between Hardy and Roode. Christian York is acting as a surrogate, and he's a great guy to do that because he is friends with Jeff Hardy and all that. He's also a great guy to do it just because he's a good wrestler, and he's a dude who belongs in there with the upper tier of TNA talent. I talked this week on the .NET Countdown about Christian York being a guy that TNA could plug into almost any facet of their roster. And that means they could put him in the X Division. They could put him in the tag division. They can give him the TV title or make him part of that hunt. And, you know, finally, they could build him up for a bit and put him in world title contention. Christian York, you know, we said it's rare that a guy as polished as York comes onto the scene so late, you know, and kind of hangs out as an obscure wrestler for as long as he has. And, you know, that's just unfortunate for York, and I know he's had his struggles, but I'm really happy to see him getting this opportunity in TNA. And I said it a few weeks ago with the gut check, is that York's story is compelling. It's the only compelling gut check story they've told. And they're continuing to tell a compelling story with him. The next match was Bobby Roode versus Christian York. Bobby Roode made York tap out to the crossface and 5-12. Cool match. Again, York looked good. Roode looked good. It was a good match. York can hang with these guys. After the match, Rude grabbed the steel chair, went to attack York's legs. Jeff Hardy ran down and chased Rude away. Simple. Like, you know, simple stuff that builds heat between Rude and Hardy. The only sad thing about this is it was in, you know, the third quarter hour, kind of buried on the show, when a lot of the focus of the show was on Hulk Hogan, Bully Ray, and Brooke Hogan. Again, I don't mind that story, but I almost wish that story took a backseat to the world title feud. You know, Christian York versus Jeff Hardy, have a promo earlier in the show, kind of Bobby Roode, same thing, have York come out and say, you know what, you don't think I'm a challenge for someone of your caliber? How about we do this? And have Bobby Roode basically say, I wrestle in main events, are you ready to step into the main event with me tonight? And York can say, yes, I am. Then you build it throughout the show, and there, I know I say this almost every week on TNA, with TNA, as I kind of go into how, you know, like us wrestling people do, how I'd rebook the show, and it's annoying at times. But I think there's something really logical about it most of the time, and I think it's basically just saying what happened didn't have to happen the way it did for the same stories to be told. And that's what I'm getting at here. The announcers recap the recent Aces and Eights attacks. Bane, hanging out in the Aces and Eights clubhouse, said the holidays are a time to be festive, and that Doc would face Kurt Angle next week. Yay! D-Von then took the hammer and said he wants a shot at the TV title. He wants a shot at Samoa Joe, where all hell will break loose tonight. Because the title was never taken from him, and I just thought, man, no one ever wants to see a D-Von match against anyone, unless D-Von happens to be getting the tables. If D-Von is getting the tables, I think a lot of people will sit through a D-Von match. But if D-Von is not getting the tables, if there's basically a guarantee that D-Von won't be getting the tables in that match, who wants to see D-Von wrestle? You know, I talk about the young talent in TNA a lot, and D-Von is a guy that you look at and you go, why is he being pushed so hard right now when there's so much young talent on this roster that is just waiting to break free, that is waiting for an opportunity, that could have a chance? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know why TNA wants D-Von. You know, it's like when the Impact Zone chanted D-Von's better to get under Bully Ray's skin, they suddenly went, holy crap, D-Von's over, brother! No, he's not. Fans at home aren't clamoring to see another D-Von match where he wears a tank top and does a spine buster and not much else. Then we got the gut check judges debate backstage. You know, one of them thinks Wes Briscoe's ready and, you know, he won the match. And one of them says, well, I don't know, the match wasn't that good. Which, you know what? Again, the gut check concept, it's infuriating, it's embarrassing to watch these segments as a wrestling fan, because you go, well, what makes a match good? After the fact, I can understand sometimes saying, well, that match was really good. In that match, there were things about it that compelled me as a fan. But when you're just saying, well, the match wasn't good, what you're saying is, that match did not meet a pre... You know, was that match good for Wes Briscoe? Yeah, he won. He found a way to win. That's what matters in wrestling, right? Winning? Well, if you're saying that that's not what matters in wrestling, then I question what does. Kurt Angle then approached Bruce Pritchard, not Brian Pritchard, Ryan Kester, not Brian Pritchard. For those of you who don't know, I use Ryan Kester's Impact live coverage to go through the show. And when he gets something wrong, I berate him. Making fun of Ryan Kester is a feature normally reserved for ProWrestling.net members. And I like the guy. I actually, you know, occasionally, another perk of membership, he joins me on these audios on occasion. And Ryan always has some really good insights to the shows. But Kurt Angle came up to Bruce Pritchard backstage and basically just asked for consideration for Wes Briscoe. Asked him, you know, to say yes about him and all that, and pressured Pritchard, I think, threatened to walk out, maybe take his gold medals and go home. Okay, most of that didn't happen. Pritchard blew him off and then started asking D'Lo Brown where Al Snow was, and this ongoing drama of Al Snow being missing played out. Christopher Daniels and Kazarian made their entrances. Bad Influence, people. Bad Influence. That's their name. Kazarian mocked Styles for his current predicament and said that Daniels would defeat him at the pay-per-view. Daniels was wearing a new ring jacket with medals on it because he's a ring general. This made me giggle. James Storm and AJ Styles came out, and it was Storm and Styles versus Daniels and Kazarian. James Storm and AJ Styles, this match was them not trying hard not to have chemistry, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Storm and Styles ended up defeating Daniels and Kazarian in 6:54. Styles almost got pinned. James Storm made a blind tag and got the last call super kick on Daniels. 1-2-3. James Storm wins the match for his team. AJ Styles looks upset, I think because it was a blind tag. You know, fine match. Furthered AJ Styles' heel turn, the story between Styles and Daniels, and all of that. Kind of wonder, though. TNA does a lot of, you know, the big group tag team matches where it's the heel, you know, the top three heels on the roster versus the top three baby faces. What happens to Styles if he's forced to team up with Daniels? Does that happen? Like, is that a thing that we're going to have to watch? Because if it is, I question the logic and the intelligence of it. Back to the X Division Challenger eliminations. Kid Cash made his case. But then Hogan said, you know what? Rob Van Dam hates Austin Aries. I'm just going to give the title shot to him. Get out of here, Zima, Ion, and, Kid Cash. Again, why? Well, why do you refuse to enhance these characters the way that you can enhance, the way that you have enhanced other guys through these segments? Oh, why do you then decide, you know what? No, we're going to be jerks to all of them. I don't like it. So Samoa Joe then accepted D-Von's challenge, stared at into the camera, and told D-Von that he will be beaten, like Samoa Joe does. Joey Ryan made his entrance and called Chrissy Hemme to go make him a sandwich because he's got the ring introductions for this one. And then he introduced Matt Morgan with a short little promo, just putting over Morgan mostly. And this was Morgan coming out in the Hulk Hogan 1983 in Shea Stadium robe. It was 83, right? I want to say it was. Morgan looks ridiculous in that robe. I'm sorry, he looks like a cartoon character. Some people might say, well, it's a piece of wrestling history. It is, but there's a reason that guys don't wear robes like that a whole lot today, and that's because they look silly, you know? It's not Sterling Silver against them, it's Matt Morgan. Let's get rid of the robe, guys. I know what you're trying to do, but part of me wonders if this is just TNA going, hey, Matt Morgan, you signed a new contract, now F you. I really do, because it's ridiculous. And, you know, pairing him with Ryan, they have kind of a Shawn Michaels and Diesel thing going with, you know, the little loudmouth and the big strong guy. But I don't know. I don't mind the pairing. I do mind the wardrobe choice. Then it was Matt Morgan squashing Douglas Williams in 2:08. Carbon footprint, 1-2-3-sies. See ya. You know, and that was, you know, again, a use of Doug Williams that I don't understand, but I've been through enough of that on this show. Bruce Pritchard and D'Lo Brown continued to stress about not being able to find Al Snow. Brown offered to stand in for Snow since he judges the gut checks on the road, so he knows how this works. And Pritchard said yes, and Chris Shore made a good point in his live coverage report on ProWrestling.net about, you know, kind of D'Lo playing an Aces and Eights member right now, just because maybe they don't have a guy to fill the role, maybe they don't want to fly him in all the time, and D'Lo, throw an extra $40 D'Lo's way, and maybe he goes out and, you know, and he doesn't mind going out in Aces and Eighting. But he made a really good point about, well, you know, now D'Lo's kind of stepping into a storyline here with Snow, and it seems like Snow was probably taken out by Aces and Eights, although Bruce Pritchard never said, what if Snow was taken out by Aces and Eights, which is dumb when you have a rogue biker gang on the loose in your backstage area that has won the right to be there at all times. How does that work? But, so I kind of wonder, if that is, you know, and because it wasn't mentioned, that makes me believe even stronger that it will probably be part of the story. I just wonder, you know, is D'Lo gonna be head wobbling in Aces and Eights? And if he is, where can I sign up to get a t-shirt for that? Because I love D'Lo's head wobble. It's the best act in wrestling ever. Okay, that's not true. A lot of you just turned off this podcast because I said that. No, D'Lo's just, I enjoy when his head wobbles. That's pretty much it. Maybe if he wore a chest protector, I'd mark out a bit too. But then we got our gut check judging segment up next, and it was D'Lo Brown, Taz, and Bruce Pritchard judging Wes Briscoe. Pritchard said, you know, I know you, I don't think you had the best match last week. I don't think it was that good, which is an understatement. Again, the butt fumble of wrestling matches. And then he said, but I also, you know, I've seen you. I know what you're capable of. If I was judging you by last week, just by last week's match, my answer would be different. But because I know you so well and I know how well you fit on this roster, my answer is yes. To which I say, then why have the match? Why not just evaluate guys based on the tape they send you and get over it? Then, you know, Al Snow, or not Al Snow, he's missing. Taz said, you know, hey, I respect you. I respect your family, but I've got to say no. That was kind of Taz's whole thing, is just, you know, no. So then Wes Briscoe, because he got one no, got the chance to kick out in an unfortunately named thing that TNA keeps trying to get over. And Wes talked about how wrestling was his dream, and he grew up, you know, it's in his blood, it's in his family. He remembers his Uncle Jack, he remembers, you know, Jerry and all that, and how important wrestling is to him. And Wes got emotional, but he managed to ask Brown to give him a chance to prove himself. And Brown then basically, you know, laid out a thought process and said, yes, sure, you know, you've got it. And then the celebration happened. Wes Briscoe looked like he was going to cry. Kurt Angle and Garrett Bischoff ran down and lifted him into the air and were so happy for him. I mean, you know, it was just downright chummy on my TV, and I wanted to throw up. A decent gut check judging segment. Wes Briscoe's promo wasn't anything special. I still wonder how no one has figured out that Wes Briscoe has very similar hair to the fluffy-haired Aces and Eights guy. I wonder what's going on in the head of all these people. It seems really obvious to everyone watching on TV, and they don't see it. TNA must have a really crack team backstage putting it together, you know? It's like Shark Boy and Curry Man are their head investigators or something. Bully Ray then confronted Hulk Hogan about he was confusing his business life with his personal life, and said, you know, hey, what's with giving Austin Aries the title shot to beat up, or so Rob Van Dam will beat him up? You know, I would beat him up. That's what I do. I'm a bully. I'm Bully Ray. And Hogan just kind of, you know, said that's what Ray is doing, and he left with the business and personal thing. ODB spoke about Eric Young getting beat up by Aces and Eights. Eric Young, by the way, like 2 days after his beating from the Aces and Eights aired, was on the ESPN Fantasy Focus podcast, which I just find hilarious. Like, you know, it's TNA, and, you know, obviously people listening and watching know it's not real and all that, but it's just kind of funny to me the way that they are not super great at, you know, sending people away. And, you know, this was ODB just lamenting it. Then we got the announcers going through the final resolution card. Aries talked backstage about Hogan falling for giving him a title shot. Basic stuff, you know, really, really basic stuff from everyone here. Then finally we got Rob Van Dam versus Austin Aries for the X Division Championship. And this was the best match on this show. Hands down, the best match on this show. Like, it wasn't even close how best this match on this show was. And I'm not even sure why it wasn't even close. Like, there should have been better matches than this, but there weren't. Okay, maybe there shouldn't have been. The tag match had a chance, but this was Aries and Rob Van Dam having a surprisingly hard-hitting match where Rob Van Dam looked motivated, which you don't see all that often from, you know, the old thumb-pointy McGee. Van Damme looked motivated. Aries worked hard, you know, to make him look good. Just a really good match from those two. Van Damme and Aries for the X Division Championship. The finish came as Aries started cutting a promo in mid-match. Like, Rob Van Damme went for a high-risk move, and instead of pinning him, Aries picked up a microphone about how Rob Van Damme, you know, look at you on the floor, look at you, you're a sweaty mess, you look ridiculous laying there. In fact, you look like Brooke Hogan on her back, all sweaty. And then Bully Ray ran down to attack Aries. I probably, you know, if it were me, would have pinned him, got that title, and then, you know, then cut that promo. But Bully Ray ran out and attacked Aries. That ended the match in a disqualification. And Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan then had a stare down that ended the show. Okay, you know, again, the star of the show was Hulk Hogan. The guy that the focus was on at the end of the show was Hulk Hogan. Bully Ray a little bit. And I will say Bully Ray deserves that. You know, Bully Ray should be there. But when it's Hulk Hogan, no, he shouldn't. You know, just on this show, there was all sorts of young talent. The guys like Hulk Hogan and D-Von are getting star-making positions over. When, you know, Hogan doesn't need to be made a star. Hogan is a star. You can do almost anything with Hogan, and he's still going to be a star. With, you know, with D-Von, it's like, how far is that going to take you? How many years do you think D-Von has left? And it's not like D-Von is having a sudden career and character resurgence the way that Bully Ray is. It'd be different if D-Von were having the best matches and the best programs and cutting the best promos of his career. But D-Von isn't doing that. D-Von is being D-Von still. He even said testify a couple weeks ago. No, you don't need to have him in this position. So, you know, and you look at guys like Kenny King, Zion, Kid Cash even. Kid Cash is a guy who I'd love to get a chance. Doug Williams. And I know I'm mentioning all smaller guys, but there's other guys too. There's other guys even on the indie scene that would be better served in a prominent position in TNA. Hell. Longtime listeners know, I just like Gunner. Gunner deserves this more than those two. That's how serious I am about this, people. Gunner. So that's, you know, that's basically it. It's a frustrating thing happening in TNA right now. And the show overall, decent. You know, I didn't mind the Hogan and Bully Ray stuff. I liked some of it. It was like between liking and not minding, basically. I didn't mind even a lot of what, you know, I liked the main event an awful lot. I liked the progression of Rude versus Hardy. I just wish it had been more prominent. And I enjoyed the progression of the James Storm, AJ Styles, and Bobby Roode, and, you know, Kazarian and Daniel's situation, that whole thing going on as well. So TNA did a lot of good on this show. They really did. There was a lot going on, but they managed to do a lot of good here. But they also kind of hurt themselves by making the star of the show like a 60-year-old, broken-down, retired wrestler who's not going to get in the ring for them instead of a guy who is effective. And I think, and this is kind of the final point of this audio, I think that this leads, you know, looking at This Week in Wrestling, you can kind of make a point that the authority figure is overexposed. And I believe that the next big thing in wrestling, the next company that's going to hit it big, strike it rich, whatever, you know, even, you know, the next company that even has a shot at, I don't want to say a wrestling boom, but at a wrestling resurgence, either with critical quality or with, you know, actual numbers and people buying the show and all that, it's going to be a company that says, you know what, let's forget this authority figure mess. Let's forget this drama. And let's just have two guys go to the ring that have been lined up to fight each other. I think that wrestling itself has become too dependent on authority figures. You look at Raw, it was a Vicky Guerrero marathon. You look at this show, it was a Hulk Hogan marathon. And wrestling has become really dependent on the authority figure crutch. We don't have a main event going in, so we need a challenge 2 hours into the show, or an hour into the show, that sets up a main event an hour later. Why? And TNA has done a really nice job of not doing that most of the time and saying, okay, well, there's going to be a, you know, aside from the Championship Thursday concept, which I like, you know, kind of separate, but that's a separate point from this. TNA has done a nice job of not constantly having an authority figure, not constantly having an authority figure making the main event. They make their matches early in a fun way, actually. You know, they announce them throughout Impact, and, you know, TNA announced 3 matches for next week's Impact already. What do I know that's going to happen on Raw? And this, you know, is off on another tangent just about wrestling in general. I know that on Raw, well, it's going to be 3 hours. And I'm probably going to watch the football game on one screen and Raw on another. That's what I know will happen on Raw. What sport works that way? Even UFC on their TV shows, you know, to use that example, when UFC has a fight night on FX or a fight night on Fox, I know the fights I'm going to see going in. When it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to see the authority figure crutch used so often, and it used as an excuse for not planning ahead, for not booking ahead, and for not making things logical. And it's a real issue. One of my favorite things about the WWE main event program is that rarely do we see an authority figure on that show. Rarely do we see an authority figure making the main event. It's just, you know, wrestler A wants to fight wrestler B. Let's do it in next week's main event. Boom. That's how that happens. Again, WWE main event, the best wrestling show on TV right now. And that's going to wrap up my TNA audio somehow. That's a tangent for you, folks. Thank you so much for listening. If you are a .NET member, of course, thank you for your support of the .NET membership site. Remember that the Cyber Monday sale, it's for you, too. You can get yourself down with that bonus rate. You know, it's $1 a month, basically, that you can save right there. Use that dollar, buy yourself a soda. You know, buy yourself a PBR if you want. Go for it. And if you're not a member, I strongly urge you, check it out. Sign up for 6 months. Get the membership through WrestleMania, you know. Sign up for a year. Get it through next year's Survivor Series. Either one is worth it. Either one is going to be fantastic. And the sale's not going to last much longer, folks. So head on over to ProWrestling.net. It's the first article on the page. Boom. Right there. Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? Have a fantastic weekend.